turn on the speaker.
Take questions from council, and the full session will last 20 to 25 minutes max. And with that, I will say, go ahead.
Okay, wonderful. So my name is Rachel Sabatka. As most of you probably know, I grew up in University City, spent my whole life there, other than college, and I just moved back. My parents have always been fairly involved in the community, and that was like a big part of my upbringing, and it fostered a lot of the connection and like passion that I have for University City now. As I've begun to make important decisions for my career, I've realized that serving community really has to be the basis of what I do. If you guys want, I can talk to you a little bit about my job, which is working for a nonprofit that is very community-based, and it's been incredibly rewarding for me so far. As far as serving on the council, there's a few things that I think would be really good if time and opportunity were to present itself to begin on some of these projects. One of which is to continue to foster and grow a relationship with WashU. WashU is obviously a huge, bountiful, space of resources that I think city can continue to, like, use for many, many, many different programs and opportunities. Another thing is implement more proactive community policing strategies and get more educated on how those policing strategies like begin and what changes can be made. I know this is kind of broad, but it's obviously really important to our community, and it's really important to like everyone right now. And I think us taking steps forward can be kind of like can be the first, but like some of the first communities in St. Louis to take proactive steps in that and be leaders in that process. And then the last thing that I'd like to kind of learn more about, talk more about, is continuing to implement intentionally diverse hiring processes, which I know UCity does fairly well, but just pushing that forward a little more, I think, is really important. So those are some of the things that I've thought about. I know that council deals with many, many issues that are, out of our control to deal with. Those are some of the things that I would be excited to talk about and get started if possible. So that's what I have.
Okay, let me see which member of council would like to start the questioning. Ms. Carr?
Hi, Ms. Sabatka. I had the pleasure of working with your mom on the advisory board on Washington University. So I'm also pleased to speak with you and thank you for applying. My question is the same that I'm asking from all applicants. How do you view representative government? And I'll give you the same clarification that I provided before. During the bond issue on streets and parks, many of the citizens felt that they had not been engaged. They had not been consulted. It had really not been discussed. And so consequently, they rejected the issues 2-1. When the ambulance service was outsourced, our council chambers were filled to overflowing, and citizens spoke for hours. And again, to this day, they still feel unrepresented. So in view of that little bit of background, what is your personal philosophy on representative government, and how would you function as a First Ward council member if you were appointed?
Okay, so I didn't hear that full question, but what I gathered was, how do you view the role of representative government, especially given some of the situations that the council has dealt with so far with people not feeling represented? Is that correct?
That is correct.
That's a really good question. I think the community through different avenues will be important to having an accurate voice for them, whether that be through the school district or just being out and active at important community-like locations. If you, representative government, as making sure you have a really full understanding of people's needs so that when they come up and they are angry about something, you're not just getting that they're angry about something, but you're really understanding what their needs are and what actions are you're able to take to fulfill those needs. Because I think, obviously, with all of the emotion, that can take away from people's real questions and concerns. That's obviously, it's not easy to take that emotion away, but I think keeping that in mind always is important. And I think, like, allowing your own reservations about certain decisions to be put on the back burner when you can see that the community has different reservations than you, and allowing yourself to say, my reservations need to be put on the back burner because I see that my community members are feeling a different way.
Thank you. I have one more question, and you mentioned developing the WashU relationship. Can you give us some background on what you think we are currently doing? And of course, you realize that this is of great interest to me, and as it was to your mother. So what is the current relationship, and how do you see that that can be improved, enhanced, changed, or...
So I know that there are some summer educational programs. I know WashU comes to the high school to do certain things. I know that, like, especially with certain WashU housing situations, there's been some contention about what kind of effects that that's had on the community. And the way I see it is, if we are going to have those... we're going to allow WashU to commandeer some important space, we should be changing things as well. And I think that that should be definitely more involvement in the schools, more opportunities for our students to be on campus, in labs or taking classes or whatever. WashU's really generous, and that's something I've learned, especially in my job now. They have resources and they're really generous with them, but you have to obviously ask and create those programs. So I think even like elementary school programs where students are getting to go to WashU, or WashU students are coming and doing more hands-on activities with our students could be a really good opportunity.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Glicker.
Hi, Rachel. If you're appointed to this seat, can you give me your top three priorities?
Okay, that's a good question. I think my top priority is to help create a council that's more trusted and has a better relationship with the community. And I know that's really, really broad, but I think with every action item or thing I say, I want people to know that my intentions are to hear the community and act on their behalf. So that would be my number one priority. And I don't think I could really say two other top priorities. Obviously, the things I listed are important to me. There's other action items like the budget and everything that take the cake as far as what we need to spend our time on. And I'd obviously have to learn a lot more about that before I could say how it should be acted upon. But that's my number one priority.
Thank you, and I like your answer.
Mr. Jennings?
Thank you. Hi, Rachel. Rachel. This is Rod Jennings. I too have also worked with your mom in various capacities and also worked with you on the school board. It's good to see you again, and thank you for applying. My first question is, you mentioned WashU benefiting students, but that's the school district. How would you suggest WashU could benefit better our residents?
Okay, so within my college experience, I went to University of Wisconsin in Madison, and although in some ways the college and community were separated, they were also really integrated, and students felt it important to work for that community. And it's a little bit more, a little trickier for WashU because the campus is not just in U City, so it's not like they just are necessarily feeling connected to U City. But different like social action committees, students were really active in, and I don't feel like necessarily the doors are open for students to feel at home in our community so that they feel kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, they have a responsibility to serve us. That's vague, and it's not the best answer to that question, but there's a lot of different student groups on campus, a lot of different types of social action groups, and I think they would love to involve our students and our community members in their action groups, whether their action groups be about, you know, better, like, environmental changes, more usable, like, energy and layouts, things like that. I think that, like, using all of those, like, active young people to work in our community could be really powerful.
Let me even get a little bit more specific. Many in the community feel that WashU is a drain on University City, that they don't provide enough resources because they don't pay taxes and their students. The university itself is always being serviced. Let's talk about the money. How do you feel about WashU University and their contributions to the University City budget in lieu of they're not paying taxes?
Yeah, well, I definitely agree that they can be a drain. Like, I know in the loop alone, their presence has grown tremendously and has hurt the presence of our community. And I think that, I mean, I don't know how all of the taxes work, and I don't know how we could, like, get them to pay us more money. But that's where their students need to feel like they should be giving back in some other way. And whether that be volunteering more, doing more cleanups throughout the community, making themselves not just college students living in our space, but community members living in our space. And I don't know of all the ways that we could do that, but I feel strongly that it can happen. It's just a change of kind of culture and dialogue between us and WashU.
Okay. I've got two more questions, and I'm going to ask that your answers be brief. I want to make sure my other council members have time. You're very accomplished for a young woman, but I would like to ask, how are you going to overcome what I think is going to be perceived as a generation gap? You would potentially be one of the youngest council members we've ever had here in University City. And some of our members, outgoing, some of our current members are in their 60s. How are you going to overcome that generation gap?
Definitely. Well, I go in being very honest about the things I don't know about and being really ready to learn and ready to new information. I obviously have a great respect for everyone on the board, and if elected, I would hope that I would get that same respect. I understand that I come in with a lot less work experience, life experience than other members, but I also hope that my age and my perspective also really helped me a lot and helped me to be the voice for another demographic of community members that haven't previously had a voice.
Okay. Tell me more about your political activism and how it can directly impact your role as a council member and impact this city. And again, briefly.
I didn't hear that. Can you say that again?
Tell me more about your political activism. You talked about your various political activism opportunities that you've had.
Right. Okay. So when I was in Madison, I was a member of a justice education and training kind of like ongoing programming where we learned a lot, various different techniques and tools for community organizing and community governance that really had a wide range of kind of like topics. So that was, it was less political activism and more learning vocal activism strategies, and that's what a lot of the classes I took also tended towards. So I would, and again, my job right now is completely community-based. We are serving all of the communities in the St. Louis city and county, so I've learned a lot about the way different communities kind of work together and work within themselves.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Carr. I mean, Crow.
Hi, Rachel. This is Terry Crow. And first off, if you, I assume you're working now at College Bound, which is an incredible organization that Lisa Zarin did quite a service to our community when she created that. Curious, where, just being nosy, where are you calling from today?
Chicago. Sorry, what?
Where are you calling from today?
So, under very sad circumstances, I'm in Chicago. My grandmother passed away, so I'm actually in Chicago for a funeral right now.
Oh, very sorry to hear that. Let me ask the next question, which is some of the current issues that we've had in University City have been the public safety issues regarding the outsourcing of our EMS services and then the funding of a police station. Recognizing that you've probably kept up with some of this, but maybe not as much, can you give me some idea of your general understanding of those two topics?
The police
station and financing for possibly for a new one and the outsourcing of EMS services.
Right. Okay. So I was present at a number of the meetings about the EMS outsourcing. To my understanding, it had to do with paying firefighters overtime or paying them overtime for working long hours. And then there was also the concern of having firefighters work many, many hours and be having them be as alert as they would be if they were working like fewer hours. Additionally, there was the buying of new ambulances, I believe, that was a concern. So the outsourcing allowed us to just have those taken care of and done by another company that a few other districts and communities have already done in the St. Louis area. That's about the knowledge I have on it. And I'm not sure about the policing, the police state, anything with the police. I don't think I'm aware of that.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Smotherson? Okay, Rachel, I think that just about covers it. Thank you very much for taking part and calling us on this sad occasion for your family up in Chicago.
Definitely.
Thank